in the book of Galatians, we have Paul, who traveled all over this region that we're talking about, building churches, and he writes back this church that he has worked with for a substantial amount of time, and he's frustrated. It is clear that he is frustrated. He leaves out the part that he says to everyone else, "I thank God every time I remember you." He just skips right over that in Galatians. We don't get any of that. We just get, "What in the world are you doing?" All right? And he lovingly lays into the people, and then he lovingly lays into Peter, all right? And he says, "You got to come down on a side. You can't live like them, preach like you know Jesus, and try to find some happy medium so that we all just get along. It's the gospel or it's not. And any gospel that is not Jesus-centered is no gospel at all. You all have been listening to another gospel, and they're talking about something called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers are saying, yes, Jesus is good, but that's not enough. You have to follow this, 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 this. And then this plus Jesus gets you what you need." And that is simply untrue. That is no gospel at all. And then he starts railing into them because he says, "Let me tell you what I'm trying to say." And all of chapter 4 is him trying to give examples of why you can't have your eyes fixed on anything. And last week I said, you know, in our healthy church thing, if your eyes aren't fixed on Jesus, if it's fixed on anything but Jesus, you're going to veer off the path. You're going to fall. Churches put their faith in pastors. Churches put their faith in worship leaders. Christians put their faith in Billy Graham or in Chris Tomlin or in all these people. And we're going to fail. And we can't make it unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ only. That's the only way to be healthy, all right? And after he says all that, he stops again in chapter 5 and he says, "Look, I'm actually not trying to give you more. I'm not trying, even though I've spent 4 chapters preaching at you, I'm not trying to put more on your plate. I'm actually trying to set you free. That's what I want. It is for freedom we've been set free." And that's what he's trying to get through. Right here, that verse, 1, it is for freedom. Christ set us free, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is awesome. Literally, 9 days ago, I had Britt and Kinsey were over at the house, and we were having dinner because Kinsey and Tay are both in Texas, and I was like, "Come on, let's eat." And Kinsey has a Bible verse that pops up on his phone, and he ran over to me in the kitchen like a kid in a candy store. He's like, "Look, look, you know, Galatians came up on the phone. How awesome is that, God?" And then one of my favorite moments in the last month, he looked right at me. He goes, "Now what's it mean?" And I got the chance to tell him, and I didn't know because I knew or because I'd studied. I knew because right before we had gone to Roanoke, I was reading this book, and God had taught me what a word means that most people don't understand. You've probably heard the Bible verse, "Cast your cares upon me, come and follow me." And it says, "Because my burden is easy and my yoke is light." Okay? My yoke is light. And if I ask in this room right now what a yoke was, you would probably say, "I have no idea." Some of you would go, "It's the center of an egg." It's not. Okay? Not yolk. Yoke. But we would probably consensus come up with the giant wooden things that in the Bible they would put on oxen to put them together, all right? Except in this instance here, and in the instance I just told you, that's not what that word is. I am not saying that every pastor who has preached to you and taught you about that is wrong. That's not what I'm telling you. But I am telling you that there's another word for yoke and another definition that makes way more sense, and if you've never heard this before, is going to be the reason you came this morning, is going to rock your world, okay? Listen, the yoke, the reason that Paul is railing against these people is because they're looking back at legalism. They're looking at lists. Do this, do this, do this, do this, and your life will be better. A very legalistic, Pharisaic approach. Sprinkle in some Jesus, okay? Because that's the culture. That's not what's going on. So you've got this list of rules. Now listen to me. Back in the Old Testament, when you chose a rabbi, it was like choosing a church, okay? young boys would go along and they would listen to the rabbi's teaching. They would listen to the rabbi's teaching just like we go around and listen to a preacher, listen to a worship service, and we eventually say, this is the church with which I want to align. Well, in the Old Testament, you would say, this is the rabbi who I want to study under, okay? And the differences would be similar to what we have today, like, we do communion whenever the Spirit leads or when we feel like the family needs to connect. Some Baptist churches do it once a quarter or every fifth Sunday because that works out well, and then Christmas and Easter. Some churches do it every Sunday, especially in the Christian church world. It says whenever you gather, take, eat, okay? So they literally take that, and all of that's well and good. It's just small differences. Same with rabbis. Maybe working on a Sunday constituted 20 steps for this rabbi. Maybe working on a Sunday constituted 50 steps for this rabbi. But listen to me. The list of things that they believe and taught was called a yoke. A rabbi's specific list of teachings is called a yoke. And Jesus comes into the world and he says, by faith, not by works. He comes into the world and says, my yoke, rabbi, teacher, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, if you've got a list of rules and I've got a list of rules, how does this play out? Well, the problem is you're accepting Jesus into your life, but then you're saying there is a standard that I must live up to in order to be something. It is not about trying, it's about relying. It's not about trying, it's about relying. And I'm going to show you something that absolutely blew me away that's going to light bulb every one of you, okay? I'm listening to Kyle Eidelman this week, and he tells this story, and I'm like, I'm not going to tell it, I'm going to show it, okay? So, power strip, okay? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't mean that there are no rules to follow. It doesn't mean that we get to act like however we want to act. That's not what it means. So you can't get Jesus and then not act right, but acting right is not what gets you there. So what is the difference between trying and relying? What is the difference between doing it on your own? Power strip, right? So first, yesterday morning in men's ministry, it's okay, we're going to get there. Yesterday morning in men's ministry, we started talking about some things, and I said this phrase, and it's going to bother some of you till you hear me out. We teach our children, especially when there's hopes and goals and dreams. We say this all the time. Even good people say this. Listen. Just follow your heart. Anybody ever heard it? Raise your hand. Anybody ever heard it? How many of you have said it? Come on, just follow your heart. Stop it. Do you know why? Because biblically it's a nightmare. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things. The greatest enemy to the cause of Christ is us. The greatest enemy to the cause of Christ is in the mirror. It's what you want. If we give up what we want, we sacrifice to something else. But in our America, she wants, he wants, they want, and everybody gets what they want because it's a free country. Here's the problem. That doesn't free you at all. So you say, you know what? I'm a good person. This is my ability to love my spouse well. Okay? I'm going to plug that in. I'm going to plug in my ability. I'm going to gather my ability to make to be a good spouse. I also need a good ability to discern, to not be smart, but to be wise, to make good choices. All right. And I also I'm going to need an ability to have sexual desires overcome. I need that, right? So that's I'm pulling from there. I also, man, I need an ability to love people better. So I'm gonna do all of those things. And now I've got all of these things plugged in. Oh, check this out. Legalism. You see the smiles now? Trying. Oh, see, Jesus isn't in this place. I know, where is it though? Oh, here we go. I found Jesus. Relying. Now there is power to overcome, for I have not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. When you set up a list of rules, you set yourself up to fail. You cannot do the things that God needs you to do without God. But if you have God, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light because I have already done these things. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Why? Because I have overcome the world. The only things that you cannot beat are sin and death, and I came to beat them. I win. Jump in, trying, relying, choose. But you'll find real freedom in stepping inside and being covered by the blood and walking with Jesus Christ, who will not take you anywhere that he has not already gone. My yoke is easy. Mark my words. I will tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the law. Listen, for the next couple of things he's just talking about, he mentioned circumcision, but that was the giant argument. That was the legalistic argument of the time. It is more than snip, snip. It's more than that. But he's going back to, what are you focusing on? Why are your eyes here? Why is it about the worship music? Why is it about dunking or sprinkling? Why is it about anything that you think the law says? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Stop trying. Start relying. That's what that first section is doing. He's going, God, get rid of the stupid arguments. And then he starts talking about living with the Spirit instead of under the law and trying to climb a ladder that is unclimbable for man. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we've talked about it and it sounds repetitive, but Paul wants you to understand this is his major point. I am not saying you don't have to obey the law. I'm saying that with Christ, obedience in the law becomes a lifestyle, not a legalism. It becomes something you do because you love me, not because you have to follow something. It becomes more. And we don't stop sinning. We never stop sinning, but we do, as we walk in the light of Christ, sin less and less. Because the more Jesus takes over, and you say, well, man, I get miserable, I get shameful, I get angry. Yes, because there's a battle going on in your soul. A natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. There's a battle going on inside you. That is why he says, if you want to really be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to throw away your selfish desires. And your desires have to be mine. Because whatsoever you ask it in my name, ask it under my authority, ask it in my spirit, and it will be given to you. Why? Because what Jesus wants has never been wrong to want. And he's happy to give it to you. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because if you are delighted in the Lord, everything that the Lord wants. And then he goes to what he does best. He goes to the parables. He goes to something you all have heard, but didn't realize what he was talking about. Listen, the acts of the flesh, when you choose on your own, when you plug into yourself, all right, you end up with impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. If you plug in to yourself and rely on your own power, the natural spirit's going to take over, and these things are going to be the product. But the fruits of the Spirit, a verse you all know, here it is. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I love the next line, and I never realized it till I got it in the whole context of Galatians. Against such things, there is, listen, no law. There's no legal precedent, no rule factioning, no list that ever says, do you know what we don't want here in America? You know what we don't want here in Albania? You don't want, no love. No love here. and joy stoppeth it. No joy here. And peace. We're getting rid of all the peace. War for everyone. And in those countries, the beauty queens stand up and say, do you know what we want? World war. Has anybody ever heard that? Why not? Because the fruit produced by plugging in to God, when the power is not your own, when it comes from the source, the fruit that is produced is perfection in and of itself. And there's nothing that can stand against it. And it overcomes the law because it transcends the law. Sorry, Britt. Sorry, Jamie. We're a Baptist church that sprinkles. Not really. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, killed, put to death the flesh and its desires. And since we live by the Spirit, you ready for this? Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Don't be conceited or provoke envy in each other. Don't talk about how good you are because you're not walking in your own power. He says, do you want to stay this way? He says, do you want to live this way? He says, do you want the fruit of the valley that you live in to produce this way all the time? Then it's simple. When the Spirit takes a step, that's where you put your foot. I've used this illustration before, but you ever watched a kid about 4 or 5 years old with his little moon-looking snow boots on, the first time they get out in the big snow, you open the door and it's, you know, a foot tall and they're only a foot and a half tall. What are they going to do? So daddy steps out and he walks through the snow. Do you know what the little kid does? He wants to get where? Where the snow's been cleared. Where the daddy has walked. There it is. You want to keep in step with the Spirit? Jump in daddy's footsteps. Because there's no storm that comes that daddy can't walk through. The fruits of the Spirit are produced by walking in step with the Spirit of God and putting away the things of this world. You're either trying to do it on your own or you're relying on the one that's already done it. There we go. I don't need to add anything to it. We're done. Let's pray. Just continually reminded of the words of the song, and I don't know why, but I'm going to repeat them. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Keep your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage. Hold on. Be strong. And remember where your help comes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.